Well, over the years, I've seen some of the strangest things you've ever seen on church websites, and I've also seen some church websites that really do a great job reaching first-time visitors. In this conversation, we're going to unpack what separates the two and what are some of the trends you need to know for this year. Let's do it. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about church website trends, what's working, what isn't. And we're going to help you think through what you should and shouldn't be doing on your church's website. So kind of our wheelhouse here, Ian. We eat, breathe, and sleep these kinds of things. You and I have been doing church websites since 2006, 2007. And my goodness, this list would have been totally different back then, right? Back when we started, this would have been a very... half these things like didn't even exist when we started doing church websites. So
you're right.
But some things are still just kind of old, tried and true, and still important. So
yeah,
should be good.
It's true. Yeah, church websites are still vital. As a matter of fact, I just got back from a conference. Many people are aware of ARC, Association of Related Churches. They do, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many, some of the best work with helping churches plant and start. Yeah. Great. And one of the things they said was that your goal needs to be to have the best church website in your city.
I love
it. So to reach visitors. So I loved that too. So good thing to lead out with into this.
That's such a good reminder, Ian. Like just this is why we talk about this. It's not just so we can say we have the best church website or I love my... It's like because people actually make a decision on the value of your church and whether they'll fit in or not.
Or check you out.
On their website. And almost everybody does that before they go to a church. You would get onto a church's website and see what it's about and see what they believe. And so you really need to nail this. And so we wanted to go over some trends that we're seeing and kind of talk through them. I'll let you kind of introduce them, Ian, and I'll give you my feedback on them. Does that work?
Yeah, this first one's going to be fun. Pop-ups. So like something that pops up when someone enters the website, like a sign-up form or an event notice, those things.
I hate them.
Yeah.
But... there is some value to them at the same time. Yeah. So this one's kind of tricky.
It is.
So, okay, so just out of the gate, everybody hates pop-ups. We all know that. Especially like old school pop-ups, if you remember, they were like, they actually like was a whole nother window that would come up. Terrible user experience.
Yeah.
Modern pop-ups are called like modals is the technical word for it in the web industry now. Usually they're like... something that pops up and then you can easily kind of, you don't have to click on it. So I still use pop-ups on our Reach Right website very sparingly. And here's where we use them. We have what's called an exit intent pop-up, which I like very much. So that is a pop-up that only pops up when someone's trying to leave the site. So usually what that means is they go up to the address bar or and hit the back button or something like that. Right then, when they get to the address bar, the pop-up comes up to just kind of try and grab their attention one last time before they leave. So, you know, for that, not a big deal. You're not really losing much. They're leaving your website anyway. So a pop-up's okay. Now, you have to set it up properly so that like it isn't every time someone gets on your website, they're seeing that same pop-up. Yep. Like what we do here is that it's only the first time you're on our website. We'll show that if you're about to leave, we'll try and show you a pop-up just to try and you know see if we can offer you a free download or something real quick before you take off, that kind of a thing. So is it a great user experience? Maybe not. Is it effective? Yeah, we probably generate, a lot of people fill out forms and kind of continue to connect with us because of them. I think churches can use these like for a plan your visit or a, you know, maybe you have a free resource of some kind or an article you wrote. I think it'd be a good idea for something like that. But to the question of general pop-ups, when someone first gets on there, don't use them. The one exception to this rule is if it's a major emergency. So Sunday morning, there's a major snowstorm. You need to let everybody know there's no service today. You know, that's one of those one exceptions for a few hours. It would be okay to have a pop-up. Outside of that, I'd say just no for general pop-ups.
That's good.
So did I rate it? If I give it a rating, it's as far as trends, I don't think it's like a growing trend necessarily. I'll just do it best or worst. So I would put this... let's see if I have to do it one or the other. I'll call it best, I guess. It's a best trend because it is still valuable, but it's like right on the best worst line, I guess.
That's if you right. will.
But it leans onto the best side.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, next one here, I think I know what you're going to say to this. Plan a visit button or pages.
Yeah. So this is a trend that we didn't do this back in the day. This is a relatively new trend. I think what we've seen is that these plan your visit pages, if you can get someone to, it's giving someone a taste of what Sunday morning's like, and then asking them to fill out a form so that you kind of know that they're coming. And as a church, it lets you pull forward some of the assimilation process, emails, communication. How amazing is it, like as an experience, if someone plans their visit, says they're going to come this Sunday, if they got an email or a text message from the lead pastor of the church that says, hey, I'm super excited you're going to come. Let's make sure we connect after service. I want to meet you and your family. Great user experience. Great chance to build connection that way. So for me, that's a best trend. Something that I think all churches should be doing, giving people a chance to plan your visit. Not everybody's going to plan their visit, but when they do, we found that they're much stickier visitors. So good thing to do.
Yep, we have seen that for sure. Agreed, Thomas. So next one, online giving directly through the website.
What does this mean? So if we
Right? Kind of interesting the way that was put.
Yeah. So if we mean giving like directly on the website, you want a seamless experience that it's on your website and not you have to go somewhere else to do it necessarily. I think what they mean is like the main call to action or the main button being online giving, and that is a no-no on the trend side. So would you bring in more money if that happened, if the main call to action everywhere on the site was give now?
Yeah.
Probably, but at what cost, right? Like that's really not what we're all about. Is we're not about building God's bank accounts. We're about building believers and growing them. And as a byproduct of that, we want people that give generously. And so should you have giving links on your website? Absolutely, you should. Should it be the primary focus of your website? Absolutely, it shouldn't. So if we're assuming it's the latter, I'm going to say worst trend. Yeah.
I will never forget the website I saw years ago with a pastor in a very nice suit leaning against literally a golden pillar, and underneath his feet was where you entered the amount that you were going to give, and this was all on the homepage. Yeah, so I'm not kidding. So anyway, don't do that. So
don't do that.
All right. So next one, video backgrounds on home pages versus photo backgrounds.
Video's better. Video is a better trend, I think. Video is just kind of catching people in action. There's a case to be made for photos in that they are faster load times, probably get you better search results because the speed will be faster. There's something to be said for that, but I think the video is valuable enough. So if I had to choose one or the other, I certainly like both of these. If you can't execute a video of B-roll footage of people caught in the act living out the values of your church, then photos are great. But I would say video backgrounds, they are great first impressions. We try to do them on every church website we do. So my church uses it, love it, best trend.
Yep, they spell out more. What is it? A picture speaks 1,000 words, video even maybe 10,000. So, but other than that, we weren't saying don't have any other still photos on the homepage. We were saying as the main background, just to clarify.
Right, as the main first impression above the fold.
As the main first impression.
That section,
That's good. Next one, live streaming services through the website.
Live streaming through the website.
So
you're probably going to use another tool.
Assuming
this
means, just having it on your website and not just relying on YouTube and Facebook Live and those types of things.
So let me put my thoughts together on this. So I would, this is funny. I would say that live streaming in general is a worst trend. Because we've talked about this many times, unless you're a very large church that can really execute it very well, it probably is better on demand than it is live. So generally speaking, don't live stream for the average size church. If you're going to live stream, if you're just talking about versus doing it on YouTube or Facebook, I actually like it on your website. Because you can control the conversation that way. if we can get people onto there, you can have comment systems and those things. It's not going to interrupt it with in-stream ads or other ads that pop up on these kinds of other platforms. You're not going to get recommended other videos about alternative topics and things on the side. So all things being equal, if you're going to live stream, I like it on your site in your home base. And I think larger churches that do live stream well, they've usually clued in on this. So in general, though, I'm going to call live streaming a worst trend if I had to choose best or worst.
There you go. So next one, interesting, to showcasing VODs of recent sermons on the homepage.
So when I think of this, I think of like Elevation Church. And what amazes me is every week, I haven't looked at it in a few months, but up until recently, their homepage on their site has that sermon being preached as their video background. And I think it's really cool because like you kind of gives you a little sample of the style and you can see what happens on Sundays there. And I like that. Having it on the homepage, I like this idea too, not having to dig into the sermon archive and, you know, pick the day, pick the sermon and those things.
Here's the most recent one, yeah.
Yeah, you want to separate people from your content with as few clicks as possible. So following that rule, I would call that a best trend.
Good. And next one would be having your website, is it a best or worst trend to have it designed primarily for mobile devices?
Okay, that word primarily is primarily really what this whole is the thing hinges on, right?
Yes.
So I will say that this, as far as a trend, is probably on the best side. Yep. So here's the numbers, is that web traffic has fully flipped, and it's been flipped for a few years at this point now, where more people get on your church's website on a mobile device than they do on a computer. So given that, you should optimize for the way that most people experience it, not the way the fewest people experience it. So to make it kind of that way, to design it primarily, that's not the word I would choose, but design it first for mobile. It doesn't have to be in either or either. Let's just get this out of the way, is that you should design it to be well viewed on both kinds of devices. But I wouldn't say primarily, but I think the heart of the question is, should we have a mobile first approach and design there and make that our main focus? I think yes is the answer to that question. Yeah. And so I'd say that's a best practice.
Agreed. So next one, an interactive church calendar.
Interactive church calendar. Okay. I would say that is, it feels like kind of par for the course at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know what we mean by interactive necessarily with this, like what kind of interaction, like, so you want a calendar, you want that to be something that someone can get on.
Events.
You want events on there. You want it to function in a way that someone could add it to their personal calendar if they want to. So you want Google Calendar or iCal integration. Yeah. So you want those kinds of things. Interactive, I don't know, like it means like adding comments and those kinds of things where people can comment on the event. Yeah. Moderated, yes, I guess you could do that. Yeah. Like if they had moderated comments, I think that's healthy. If someone says, can't wait to come this Sunday or something like that, that's cool. Like that helps with juice on search engines and would get it more visible. But I don't think that's a big deal. So the interactive part, I don't know, might be kind of like borderline either way. But in general, if we're just asking about calendars that are functional, I think that's a best trend.
Functional for sure. Next one, I think I know what you're going to grade this one. Member portals.
Okay. So it depends on how you think about this. I don't think churches should take any time to build their own member portals. I think having like a Saddleback Church famously did this for a while. This is no judgment on them. This is just from a long time ago. I don't know if they still do or not. But there was a Saddleback Church website that was outreach focused. And then there was a Saddleback Family website that was more in-reach focused, right? So they would have their life groups and those kinds of things there and all those things. So it's kind of a for people that are members and people that are not.
Yep.
I love it in principle. I think kind of as a principle, it's great. I think the way we do this for most churches now, it is one and the same. But I think you do this through integration with your church management software in most cases.
Exactly. Yep.
So like Planning Center that a lot of churches use. I use it at my church. I know your church, I think you guys use Rock RMS or something like that. And that was a big deal at your church, integrating that into the website so that you can make, like for us, being able to have our life groups listed on there that are ever changing, and you know, there's always new ones coming and old ones leaving. So you want to be able to have those kinds of internal type things available. That's kind of the way to execute that now. So I think it's probably a worst trend for you to work on designing something like that from scratch, but it is a best trend when it comes to integrating tools that are already out there, like a planning center or whatever your church management software is.
Agreed. Agreed. So next one, testimonial sections.
I can't think of a time where testimonials are ever a bad idea. They're always a win. I don't know about like to put them in certain sections. I don't know if people like, or if you have a page on your website that someone has to go to that's dedicated to testimonials or something. I don't think that's the best way to execute it. So if I, if we're emphasizing the word sections on this here, like then maybe not. But like just as an idea of, if the question is, do you, should you use testimonials of lives changed on your church website? Yes. I think every website should have testimonials of some kind, whether you're a plumber or a school or a church or whatever it is. You should have real world feedback from people's experience and testimonials on there. You know, and I've actually, I haven't seen a lot of churches do this. I've seen one, but like, you'll see a lot of businesses, they'll embed code that has their Google reviews on there. So if you look for plumbers in your city, it'll have like all of this plumbing companies, all their Google reviews in there with comments and stars and all that stuff. Might be a cool idea to experiment with. I've seen it on one church before where they embed Google reviews of the church on the church website. So a little tricky because you don't want people saying blasphemous things about your church on there.
Right.
So if those come, you have to remove it probably. But I think it's something that's worth playing with or trying.
For sure. Third party credibility builder, and that's not in the mouth of just the pastor, but real people. So, but all right, next one is Google Maps integration to your website.
Good trend, I think, if we mean the same thing about this. Google Maps integration, I think websites should have a link. Your address should be clickable so that when someone clicks on it, it would be immediately directing them into Google Maps or Apple Maps to get directions to get there. I think that's a healthy practice to have. That's the way things should interactively work now. I think probably having a map on your site of how to get to your church. So someone, because I know the way I kind of operate, I think spatially this way. If I want to see where a church is, I'll look at the map on the site. I'll back out a little bit and say, oh, it's right by that other place that I know. Kind of give me a frame of reference. So I think it's good in that way. It's not a enormous thing, I wouldn't think. I can't think of a reason why it's like a absolute must have on every church. Like it's, you could have a good website without it. But I think if we're choosing best or worst, it'd probably be in the best camp.
Yep, that's good stuff. Next one, search bars on your website.
Okay, this may be a hot take.
Kind of how deep the website is, right? So
I think for a really deep website, you'll probably want to do that. I think that for smaller churches, church plants, medium-sized churches even, you're trying to curate an experience that's really intuitive. So I think generally, like, churches shouldn't need a search bar to be able to find things on there. People should be able to just, it should be a no-brainer. Like if someone is on your site and they shouldn't have to search what time is services or you know, where are you located or whatever it would be.
Right.
It should just be plainly obvious. And I think a well-designed website does that. I think if you have a blog or a sermon library, I want those to be searchable. So I think that if you've had, especially if you're an expository kind of a church and you're teaching good books of the Bible, you want things to be really easy to find. If someone wants a message on, you know, Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9, you want them to be able to type in Paul becomes Saul or something like that and find it. So that'd be good. But I don't think like for just general content on your site, a big prime location for a search bar, I think that's overkill.
Yeah.
Maybe just on those specific pages for sermons or blog posts. That's where I would have that.
Yep. Agreed. And last, but maybe not least, we'll see, frequently asked questions for newcomers.
Yeah. This is huge. I think I'd have this on your plan your visit page.
Yep.
I think I'd have it on your about page. I think any place a newcomer might go to. People do actually look at these. We have the data to prove it. You look at the measurement. You can actually, on a lot of these, we have, sometimes we'll use these little ones that drop down. So there's a question, you click on it, and then the answer will drop down. And that lets us measure, are people actually clicking on these kinds of things, which is pretty cool to see. So yes, people do click on them. I think the great thing about an FAQ, and I think people misunderstand this a lot, an FAQ should not be used as which questions do I actually get asked the most, right? That's not should be, that shouldn't be your approach on an FAQ, although that's what they're called. You should use it as a way to curate the kinds of questions that people maybe are wondering and you want to answer as the questions that are on there. Because if you shouldn't, like, for instance, I know more and more churches are getting asked, hey, what is your position on the definition of marriage in the Bible, right? So I would never put that in my FAQs section. Like, believe, whatever. I mean, and I'm a conservative, traditional view of marriage person. I just don't think that's something that, if you don't want that conversation maybe to happen initially without context in a lot of cases. Maybe you disagree with me though. Maybe it's something you want to lead with. I find that in general, I don't lead with all topics of sin when I start a conversation with people. You want to have things like, hey, what am I supposed to wear? How long are your services? Are my kids going to have a good time? Those kinds of questions that people, maybe you don't get asked that every weekend, but you can, it is something people are wondering, and there are ways that you can really make your church shine. And so if you're approaching it that way, I think that's a best practice, best church website trend.
Agreed. Awesome. They break the ice, make people feel more comfortable. Always good to reduce apprehension to first-time visitors. So absolutely.
Were there any more? So,
that was it.
That's it. Okay. Awesome. Hopefully that's helpful. If you disagree with me on any of these, you think they are good trends, I'd love to hear about it down in the comments. We open discussion here. Or if you have other trends, maybe you're curious about our take on them, drop those in the comments. We do use a lot of these comments to make other videos and answer your questions in video format. So be aware of that. You might, we'll give you a shout out and make sure to tag you if you did ask us a question like that. But thanks guys for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.